Back to Chris Gordon.
All right. This question deals with character, leadership, and fitness for office. You've all had public service. We thank you for that. And I'm going to ask you each an individual question to answer here. Attorney General Gansler, your judgment has been questioned. With the pictures that we have seen from the party you attended, where your son was at, where there may have been underage drinking, and you said you did nothing to stop it, it was not in Maryland, it was in Delaware. With your statements, military service, you implied, was not a real job. And with your use of a state car, a report being that you asked your state detail to go through red lights or up the shoulder of a road to get you to an appointment on time. Lieutenant Governor Brown, we have heard tonight that you botched the rollout, and in fact, the Attorney General used the word cover-up tonight. And Delegate Mazier, critics say that you're just not experienced enough because you've been a state delegate since 2007, but you've never had statewide elected office or experience as an executive. How do you all answer these critics? Delegate Mazier, we start with you.
Marylanders want a governor who knows how to bring people together to get big things done. Let me tell you two stories about the way I've done this on family planning and marijuana decriminalization. I reached across the aisle to work with the head of the Tea Party caucus to expand family planning services to low-income women by first convincing him that it lowered the abortion rate and saved the state money. It also happens to be good for maternal and child health outcomes. Together, we put partisanship on the shelf in order to make progress for our state. 34,000 more women have access to free family planning services in our state because of this. This year in the legislative session, with just 48 hours to go, the press all reported that our marijuana decriminalization effort was dead. It had got voted out of a committee and turned into a study bill. I worked with the Legislative Black Caucus and a group of progressive legislators to come up with a strategy on the floor to turn that around. We passed that law, sent it to the governor's desk. Maryland is now the 18th state to decriminalize marijuana. Both of these happen because of leadership.
Time.
I'm the governor that this state is ready for.
Lieutenant Governor, what about the criticism, your
sure.
The leadership quietness, the fitness question?
Sure. As governor, I would bring not only 8 years of experience as lieutenant governor, but 8 years in the General Assembly and 30 years in uniform and service to our country. As lieutenant governor, during the last 8 years, I led the effort on Bay Street alignment and closure that has already to date created or brought to our state 49,000 jobs, and we are well on our way to meeting the goal of 60,000 jobs by 2022. Reduce violence against women and children and the work we're doing on domestic violence that I've had the opportunity to lead and work with so many on. We've reduced the number of children in foster care from 9,000 to 6,900. I've led on that effort, as well as the work we've done to serve our veterans. Marylanders have a choice. They're going to look at experience, they're going to look at record, and they're going to look at judgment. Not only, Chris, the things that you offered up to the Attorney General, but also the fact that he was the only state's attorney in the history of Maryland reprimanded by the highest court for misconduct, ethical misconduct in office, because he denied a defendant the right to a fair trial because he, for political gain,
time.
Spoke out. That's judgment. Voters are going to
time.
Be looking at that.
Attorney General, you can respond to that as well as the question that Chris originally posed.
Start with the reprimand?
I'd like to, yeah. Since it just...
Yes, I had the honor of being reprimanded by the Court of Appeals because I took on a judge who said to an 11-year-old girl who was raped by a sexual internet predator that it takes two to tango, and it was her fault for responding to his emails, which is why he went and raped her. The Court of Appeals then reprimanded me for being a public official publicly reading a public charging document at a press conference with the police. I wear it as a badge of honor. As far as character, I think my character stands for itself. I've been in public office for 22 years representing the victims of crime. I've taken on cases, for example, Garrett Wilson, who murdered both of his babies in the 1980s, and they ruled his SIDS death. Nobody else would prosecute that case. I did, and he's spending the rest of his life behind bars. There were children in Baltimore City who didn't have access to the same things that the rest of Maryland did to be able to play lacrosse. So 6 years ago, I cared about them, so I started a league called Charm City Youth Lacrosse. We have over 400 boys and girls in that league right now that are all prospering and being able to go to better schools and being active in their communities. Let me talk about the beach party because
You're over on your time, but I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Well, you have 30 seconds. I'm going to ask you about that. Did you miss an opportunity as the Attorney General of the state to deal as the Attorney General with underage drinking? Did you miss an opportunity as a parent to step into that situation and not put blinders on, but deal with it more responsibly?
So my wife and I have been married for 22 years. We are profoundly proud of our children. That night I went to tell my child what time he was going to leave the next morning. Could I have done something different there that night? Absolutely. Well, will we say things to our children or do things in the future that we could do differently? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, a few weeks later, I took him to college at Penn. And is there underage drinking at college? Absolutely. I'm not going to not send him to college, but we worry. We parent on the fly. And that was the mistake we made that night. In terms of Attorney General, I led the nation in taking caffeinated alcoholic beverages off the shelves.
All right. We are going to leave it there for a moment. We are going to take a break here, take a pause for a brief commercial break. We'll be right back with many more questions for the candidates for governor of Maryland. And after the debate, join me for a special Google Hangout on NBCWashington.com. We'll be right back. And we are back live at the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center at the University of Maryland with three Democratic candidates for governor of Maryland, Attorney General Doug Gansler, Delegate Heather Mazier, and Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown. Before we move back to the panel, I want to just stay for a moment, Lieutenant Governor, on this leadership and character question. You heard the Attorney General respond to questions about that beach party. Firstly, is that a character issue for you in this race? And secondly, how did you respond to his comment about your military record?
Well, I think it's a judgment issue. And the set of rules that apply to the public apply to us. If it was one thing, if it were perhaps in your own living room with your children. But months earlier, you looked into the camera. You told parents what we know. We are the role models to discourage underage drinking. You did a public service announcement. But then found yourself in the middle of not one, two, or three, but literally hundreds of teenagers underage drinking. And what I would have stopped the party and made sure that every child got home safely.
All right, take 30 seconds, Attorney General.
Well, as much as I appreciate the Lieutenant Governor lecturing me on my parenting skills, I would like to talk about the military question that you just asked. To be clear, I did not say one derogatory syllable to any one of our veterans. Like everybody watching at home and everybody here, I have the deepest respect for our veterans and a profound depth of gratitude toward them. But we can do so much more for our veterans in Maryland. During the 8 years, we haven't stepped up. We could get them PTSD counseling. We have the worst Veterans Administration office in the country here in Maryland. And we need to make sure that we don't tax their retirement income here
quickly,
in Maryland.
Quickly, Senate Governor, respond to that since you were the...
You can't build a strong Maryland if you keep cutting it down. And right now, we have a honorable veteran community that is well served by the Maryland Department of Veterans Affairs. These are veterans that are serving veterans. Post-traumatic stress disorder. The work that we're doing to connecting them to jobs. We're proud of the work that we do, and we're proud of the service that they perform both here in the community and we're in service. Whether you're a cook, a clerk, a lawyer, a pilot, or anything else in the military, we value your service to our nation.
Delegate Mazier, let me give you 30 seconds on this issue.
David, you asked about leadership and character. I don't think it's about this kind of personal bickering and attacks. Voters are wanting candidates to remain positive and stay focused on the issues. Leadership and character that we need in Annapolis is a governor that will take on the special interests and fight for middle-class families. And that is who I am, that's who I've always been, and that's what you can expect me to do as your governor.
All right, Jenna, back to you.
So we recently heard a recording that was reportedly the owner of the L.A. Clippers making racist comments. The NBA has since banned him for life. And President Obama responded by saying, quote, "We constantly have to be on guard on racial attitudes that divide us rather than embracing our diversity as a strength." Here in Maryland, the owner of the Redskins has said that the team name celebrates Native American culture, while others have said it's an offensive racial slur. Is it a slur, and should it be changed? And, Lieutenant Governor, we'll start with you.
Sure. First of all, let me say that what the NBA did in response to the comment by the owners of the L.A. Clippers was appropriate, and it sends a strong signal that those words, that action, is unacceptable. I no longer refer to Washington's football team by their nickname. I do find it offensive, and I would hope that the owner, Dan Snyder, would reach the same conclusion and to change the name. I know, I believe that the fan base it wants the same thing. But more importantly, if we're going to live up to the kind of Maryland that we can all be proud of, then we have to synchronize our words, our actions, okay? And Dan Schneider, if his football team particularly is playing in Maryland, he ought to synchronize his conscience, his actions, and do the right thing and change the name.
Attorney General.
Thank you. I started the first civil rights division in our state's history in the Attorney General's office. We've taken on the minority achievement gap in higher education. I'm extremely concerned about the lack of funding for our HBCUs here in Maryland. We've addressed voting rights issues. So I'm keenly aware of this issue involving civil rights and people that feel discriminated against. You know, in terms of the Redskins, I've been a lifelong Redskins fan. I do a show every week before the game for the Redskins. And I am sympathetic to those fans that deeply love the name and understand that it wasn't intended as a slur, but it is. And so we should move toward changing the name away from the Redskins because people find it offensive. We changed the name of the Bullets when people found that offensive. And look at tonight. The Wizards are playing right up against this debate, and hopefully they're winning. And so we can change the name and move on. And I think that if people are offended by it, we actually should change the name, and the Redskins owners will make a lot more money by selling throwback jerseys and the like.
If they don't, though, if you were – governor of this state, would you pursue some recourse to put pressure on the team to do it, pressure on the NFL to do it?
You know, I think not. I think I would meet with Mr. Snyder and people from the Redskins organization and try and come to an understanding. I think they're going to change the name. I think that the die is cast, and I think they're going to change the name. The question is when and how.
Delegate Mazur.
Words matter, and I am opposed to the name of the Washington Redskins, and I've made that clear over the course of this election. But our actions matter even more. Let's talk about the income inequality gap that exists in our state. We raised the minimum wage this year, but it was so watered down by the time we pushed it through that the next governor will be running for re-election before it even gets to 10-10. And we didn't include provisions that indexed it for inflation or addressed the problem of our tipped workers still only earning $3.63 an hour. Many of those workers are women and people of color. If you look at our gender pay gap in this state, women are still making, on average, 85 cents on the dollar to their male counterparts. But if you're an African-American woman, that's 67 cents. If you're a Latina woman, it's 46 cents. This is an issue of urgency that demands a governor that cares about these issues and will fight to address the income inequality gap, that has plans to provide minimum wage relief. I want to not just have a minimum wage.
Time.
I want to have a living wage. And I'm the only candidate up here that has put that policy on the table.
To Chris Lawrence.